Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
God is on the throne. Amen. God is on the throne. And he is good. And to me, yeah, the more we've thought about it and talked about it, Satan doesn't like unity. And he doesn't like what the Lord's doing right here, right now, around Baptist churches gathering together under the one message for the first time in our history to declare that this 2033 vision of seeing the Acts 2 church revitalized, moving forward on purpose and in purpose. And so he's scuttling and scurrying, you know, with his little minions trying to bring division and chaos, but Jesus is on the throne and the enemy will not prevail because Jesus says, I will build my church, amen? And he is building his church. So we love you. Thank you for your love and your prayers in all of this and your patience in it all as well. And apologies if anyone did open an email and... God's good. So let me pray. I always want to pray just to still myself. So Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is alive and active. It is a double-edged sword, able to penetrate dividing soul and spirit. And as we gather around your word this morning, both here now and then in a few hours' time on this amazing gift of land that you have given us, we pray that you would be glorified. Lord, any word that is just of me and my intellect or ideas, may it all fall to the ground. And Lord, may your spirit take your word and may you move powerfully, breathe upon it, and leave us different to how we came, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're here today, you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, we're in a series uniting with Baptist churches from all over the world, which we are just calling God's Vision for Your Life. We're looking at Acts 2 and God's heart to see the church by 2033 to have stepped into the mission for which it was given, that the gospel would be going to the very ends of the earth. And as we've looked at this in Acts 2, this beautiful passage, which we'll read in a second, what we've seen is that really God's vision for our lives is that we would be his disciples. Amen? And that's his vision for our lives, that we would be his disciples, that we would be a people who are known by him, who know him, who love him, are walking according to his purposes, and are taking that gospel to the ends of the earth. And so we've linked this in with what we've talked about for a number of years in this church, which is this idea of this, that discipleship's not a linear journey. It's this constant... Originally, we were calling it a cycle, but I don't think cycle is quite the word. It's more like a vortex is the latest language we've been using, like a Venn diagram where everything's constantly bouncing off each other of belonging, believing, beholding, becoming, and building, all of which is this inward journey into the very heart of Christ as Christ draws us to himself. And if any one of these areas is lacking or suffering, then discipleship will suffer. But where these areas are flourishing in our own lives, we see that discipleship flourishing and we see Christ being magnified and we see his kingdom advancing across the earth. Yeah? And so that's what we're looking at. Today we're kind of leaning into this fourth of these areas, which is this area of becoming. So if you've got your Bibles, would you do me a favor? Would you turn to Acts, the book of Acts? And today I want to, rather than just pausing right there in Acts chapter 2, where we have for the last 3 weeks, I want us to get a little bit more of a higher level of what's going on. You see, a few months maybe before this passage in Acts chapter 2, what we've seen is a bunch of disciples sitting in an upper room with the Savior, Jesus Christ, saying things like, we will never leave you nor forsake you. We will never deny you. We're going to follow you till the day that we die. We're going to give our lives for you. And then a few hours later, what do we see? we see these same people, when the heat got turned up, scattered, disappearing, doing the very opposite of the thing that they said with great assurance that they would do. And then we see that Jesus goes to the cross and that he dies, he rises again, he calls them to himself, he gathers them, and he tells them, like, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. He says, but before he says, go, make disciples, he actually says something else. He says, wait. He says, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the one whom I will send. And so as we pick up the book of Acts, we land at this point in Acts chapter 2 where they are waiting. They are gathered. They are hiding again in an upper room. And there's no great ferocity to their ministry yet. They're not going out and preaching and seeing people saved. They're this timid, struggling group of people trying to be obedient, waiting on God. And then something happens. Something happens. From the beginning of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Everyone say fire. That separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then we jump to the end where we have sat, verse 42. After Peter has preached the gospel and 3,000 have been added, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then chapter 3, Peter and John walk past a lame beggar. And the lame beggar gets healed. And it causes a commotion. And Peter and John get brought before the Jewish leadership, the very people who just maybe a couple of months by this stage before had caused them to scatter and hide. You pick it up in chapter 4, Peter and John are before the very Sanhedrin again. And there's something different. Boldly they declare their faith, and I want you to pick this up, verse 13. This is what has just sat with me all week. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were ordinary, unschooled men, they were astonished. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. A number of years ago, we were sitting by a comfort fire on New Year's Eve down at Normanville. And the rules, according to the CFS, are as long as you're cooking something, you're okay in summer, by the way. So we're roasting marshies, sitting by the little brazier, sitting by a comfort fire, just with a few close friends and family, chatting away, having a great time. And I had what I guess I call a God moment. Because I was sitting there looking into the fire as you do. You know, you sit around a little fire pit and you just, they're like fires and babies, right? You can just stare at them. And just staring into this fire, and I just had this little thought pop into my head, because just a few hours before we had been down at the beach with thousands of other people, a much bigger crowd, with our kids running around with these things called sparklers, a different kind of fire. And, you know, there they are, just waving these things around, you know, doing that, riding in the night sky, all that stuff, holding these sparklers. But we're waiting for this little firework to go out so that we could see some more fireworks. And when the fireworks started, there we are with thousands of other people standing there, and bang, off it goes, and it's loud and it's noisy and it's bright and it's colourful, and there's a whole lot of, you know, excitement around it, and everyone's there with their eyes on the sky. But then something else happens. It stops. The fireworks finish, and what happens then? That whole crowd awkwardly hangs around for another 5 or so minutes, thinking, well, what do we do now? The fireworks gone out. And so slowly but surely, everyone just leaves and goes home. And as I was sitting there staring at this fire where we had sat now for a fair bit of time, which was burning away, not with a bunch of strangers, but with people I considered family, a thought popped into my head, which was this. No, Katy Perry. I don't want to be a firework. I want to be a fire pit. And I just sat there and thought, this is the kind of faith that the Acts 2 church had. And this is the kind of faith that the church is supposed to have. But the problem is, we're so captivated by the firework, which goes bang and boom and makes a lot of noise, and we love the crowd that it draws, and so many people have had that firework faith, which is passionate and it's vibrant, but it only lasts 5 minutes. Because the moment troubles come, the moment hardships come, the moment the weather changes, it all stops. And that same crowd that was drawn just turn their backs and walk away. The firework doesn't create family. The firework doesn't sustain. It doesn't produce lasting heat and light that you can sit around with and have real conversation. That belongs to the fire pit. That's where you sit and you sit and you sit and you talk and you journey and you do life together. And I was like, that's the kind of faith I want to have, the faith that endures, that lasts, that maybe it's not as big and it's not as loud and it's not as exciting perhaps, but it finishes. But it finishes. You know, when you look at the early church, as we sit here with our Baptist brothers and sisters from all over the world exploring Acts 2. Really what we're doing as we look at these few short verses is we are looking at a window in time, which is simply a microcosm, a little window into a greater ecosystem that is explored in much greater detail through the rest of the book of Acts, but all through the New Testament and then into early church history. That this idea, these few short verses of this is what this ecosystem looked like, is simply just pointing us. It's saying this is what happened, not for a moment, but the thing that endured. And this is what defined them. This is what they embodied and caused them to burn with a lasting flame. And it's interesting to me that this is how it all began, right? Because a fire has to begin with something. It begins with a flame. And we've preached this variation of this message on and off over and over again over the last few years. We keep returning to it. It's like Philippians 3 where Paul says, I don't consider it a bother, brothers and sisters, to say the same things to you again, for it is a safeguard for you, right? We keep saying this, and we've used this analogy that God wants us not just to glow, but to grow. We've talked about the fact Danny Guglielmucci came and he preached. He said, God, yes, God's, he's interested in the toot, but more than that, he wants our fruit. As only Danny can. that God's heart for the church is not just for the firework and the flame. It's not just for the quick growth that withers away. No, it's for deep roots that last, that we would become what he has created us and called us to be, which is his hands and feet on the earth. And here's the amazing thing as we look at this, with this whole idea that God would draw people unto himself, that he would call us to something more than ourselves, that grace is the free gift that is available to everyone, but growth is not. That growth is something we participate in, that he asks something of us, that we have to lean into it, that the flame of God comes from God and God alone. There they were gathered, and it was no work of their own other than to be, that the flame of God came. He lit the flame. The Holy Spirit came. But then there was something that was necessary for the flame to endure. That they could have been a firework. They could have gone off. They could have said, "Rah, this is amazing. Preach, 3,000 get added," and then persecution happens and they all just fall away. But that's not what happened. Because friends, the early church didn't start how they finished. There they were, started timid, scattered, struggling in a room, but they finished every single one of those apostles by offering their lives for the sake of the gospel. They didn't just endure, they burnt strong until the day the Lord called them home. How? That's our question. How does the flame endure? Over the years, we've used different analogies. We've used the analogy of the tree that's planted by streams of living water. That the roots, how do the roots go deep? We've talked about God having a gym. Right? That he gives us access to everything we need. It's a free gift. Come in. But we can sit there like my friend Peter March did many years ago, wearing his footy shorts and his singlet with a beer in hand while I'm working out next to him. Like, you can be in the room, you can have access to all the equipment, but that doesn't mean you're going to grow. That God says you need to participate in what I have given you, and that's where growth happens. That's where you begin to become what I've created and called you to be. The Holy Spirit comes, it lights the flame at Pentecost. And that is a free gift of God. But then what? How do we burn? How do we endure? How do we become what Jesus has called to be, called us to be? And I think the answer is actually right here in this passage that we looked at today, by what they devoted themselves to. And so in the short time that we have, we're going to look at this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see, friends, the difference between a sparkler and a fire pit is what? It's fuel. Amen? The sparkler has very limited fuel. Yeah, it burns bright, but it only burns for a minute because the fuel runs out. You sit around a fire pit, what are you doing? What are we doing? You're feeding it. We just constantly keep putting logs on the fire. And I think in our faith, we recognize only God can light the flame. And a fire needs oxygen, and this is the breath of God, right? Only God can breathe. Only, like, the Holy Spirit is the oxygen of his flame. He is the one. Without him, there is no faith. There is no flame of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. No one can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's only the work of the Spirit. He is the oxygen. He is the breath, the ruach of God. He is the one who sustains the flame. But he's inviting us. He says, but here's the thing you got to do. This is the simple participation in my work of faith, is I'm asking you to keep putting logs on the fire that you might burn long, that it might burn slow, that it might burn bright, that it might burn hot, and that you might be what I'm calling you to be. Fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Keep putting logs on the fire. How do we put logs on the fire of faith? One, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? The word of God. That Jesus Christ was Lord. The apostles used the Old Testament to declare the promises and the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The word of God. They devoted themselves to the word. They devoted themselves to truth. How do we put logs on the fire of faith? Friends, we need to devote ourselves to the truth, to the word of God. I said to someone this week, I said, less TikTok, more scripture. And I, like, Pete, we giggle, but friends, honestly, if we are to burn bright and we are to burn long and we are to endure through trouble and suffering, because my God, did they endure more than we could ever even begin to imagine, we must learn to devote ourselves. And it can feel like a heavy log, but it's the big core log that sits right in the middle of the fire pit. The truth of God, the word of God. Jesus is the word. And we need to learn to put that log on the fire instead of surviving off of these little twigs of 60-second tidbits where we go, oh, that person said this, great, that's going to last me a day. Or this person said that, that's great, that's going to get me through the next 5 minutes. No, get the log of God into you. The depth and the richness and the wonder of His mercy and His grace and His goodness all revealed to us in the Scripture, which we have lost because we are so consumed by the distractions of the world. I'm not saying that I am immune to this either. We all have to be there encouraging each other to put the right log on the fire. They were devoted. Friends, say devoted. Devoted. That's a big word. Devoted speaks of effort. As Dallas Willard says, that grace is opposed to earning, not effort. Can we put the George Mueller thing up there, babe? That quote, I love this quote. The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And normally I would have 5 M's for you, but I'm on a short time leash, so I'm going to just mention two quick ones, meditation and memorization. Can I tell you, this is why singing good biblical songs is so good. Because when you put scripture to music, you memorize it. This is why when we sing nonsense, it's no good. Because we're filling our minds with stuff. A great way to memorize scripture is to just get lost in singing the scriptures. If that's hard for you to sit and open the word and go through with your, you know, all right, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whosoever, oh, what was that word again? You know, like if that's, think, how can we memorize scripture? Meditation means to chew on it. It means to take a little bit. We don't have to take a whole chapter, take a little bit and just let it spin and spin and spin as we think about it, as we talk about it, like chewing on the word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Number two, to fellowship. What is fellowship? It's a very churchy word, isn't it? What is fellowship? It's community. But it's more than just hanging out and having a good time. Fellowship is doing life together. They devoted themselves to doing life together. Think about that for a second. That means that they prioritized, they committed time to doing life together because it was an essential log on the fire of faith. It's more than just saying, hey, this is, you know, just having a laugh or spending good times together. Fellowship is about journeying with one another in the good and in the bad. Fellowship is about wrestling with one another through difficult parts of Scripture and things that we're just journeying in life and trying to understand about God. Fellowship is being there for one another when the poo hits the proverbial fan and there's stuff all over the walls of life. Fellowship is being there to help clean the poo off the walls. You know, fellowship, they devoted themselves to fellowship. They were in, they were with one another. They called each other brother and sister because they recognized they were the family of God. Fellowship is sitting around the fire and throwing the logs on together. They devoted themselves not just to the word, they devoted themselves to one another and to life together because the enemy always wants to isolate. He wants to divide because when you are isolated, that is when you're vulnerable. A number of years ago, I shared a story at when Ben was at Seeds still, I think, at the Seeds Easter camp. And then literally that afternoon, Jonathan Carpenter is a member of our church. He came and he shared, not knowing what I'd shared, he shared the exact same story. And all the kids started laughing and Johnny was like halfway through his chat. He's like, what's going on? We're like, oh, we've already heard this today. But it's just the image of the fireplace, and you've all been there, that when a coal that's burning red hot gets taken out of the fire and put to the side, what happens? It goes out real quick and it grows cold. But the moment you take that coal and you put it back in with all the other coals, what happens? They devoted themselves to fellowship, to being together. Number three, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. What is this? Does this mean that they all like jumped into the bakehouse and got the bread out and were like, bam, let's go? No, this is speaking to the sacraments. This is speaking to communion. Friends, this is speaking to the fact that faith is more than knowledge. Faith is about experience. It's about encounter. It's about living with God. Communion was a visceral, tangible way of journeying with God. Thank you, Laura. I hear that cue. Can we put the Tozer quote up? Tozer says it this way. It is one thing to have a lot of information about God, but it is another thing to bask in the warmth and reality of His presence. God has given us sacraments. He's given us practices of faith where we go beyond intellectual assent and we enter into relationship. Every day they gathered, they remembered something they had seen, something they had witnessed. They were drawn in tangibly and experientially into a moment where Christ called them. Friends, this is the faith that we are called to encourage one another, build one another up, but not just rest at intellectual assent. Yes, gain knowledge, gain wisdom, but God is a good Father and He wants to walk with His children. He wants to hold our hand in suffering. He wants to rejoice with us when we're rejoicing. He is a good Father. And so we journey together. The last point is this. They devoted themselves to prayers. I think in the Greek, technically, it should say the prayers. The prayers. What are the prayers? Remember how Jesus taught His disciples to pray? Do you remember? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. He's teaching them that the purpose of prayer is not to come to a vending machine to get what we need. he's teaching him that the power of prayer is praise. Oh, if I had more time, I'd love to preach this. He's teaching them that the power of prayer is praise, that the church needs to learn to devote itself to praise. Why? Because it shifts perspective. Adzie talked about this so beautifully last week in beholding, that when we behold, we recognize who it is who is on our side regardless of what the eye is seeing in that exact moment. It's declaring an eternal, glorious, truthful reality that Jesus is on the throne, that God is good, that he is gracious, that he is merciful, that he is loving, that he is true, that the gates of hell will not prevail against him, that he is and he was and he will be, that he is the author of life, that he is who he says he is. And so often we get so overwhelmed by the things of this life. And this is why he says, looking under Christ, or he says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, beholding Jesus. This is what the prayers are, the early church, that we as the church, as we devote ourselves to the word, as we devote ourselves to fellowship and encouragement, as we devote ourselves to the sacraments, and as we begin to just constantly call each other upward into the upward call of Christ and declaring who he is, we can take another step. We can pick up another log and put it on that fire that the Spirit would continue to burn. Amen? Beloved, all this time we've been saying, how will we respond with our time, talent, and treasure? It all is a gift of God. God is the one who lights the flame. The question is, where is our heart? The heart's revealed by where we spend our time, talent, and treasure. What will we do with what he has given us? Will we run our own way? Or will we commit those logs to the fire of God that he might burn and that the nations of the world would come to the fire pit? And in the words of John Wesley, that as we burn for Christ, people would come to watch you burn and catch fire themselves. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a firework. Baby, I don't want to be a firework. I settled that a few years ago in my heart. The temptation is always there to be a firework. Especially in pastoral ministry, the temptation is always there to be a firework. I settled that in my heart a few years ago with the Lord. I just said, Lord, I don't want to be a firework. I don't want to be that. I want to be a fire pit. I want to throw that other stuff away and all the trappings that come with it. And I just want to burn for you until the day you call me home. And I want to burn brighter and brighter and brighter. So do that work in me and help me do whatever it is that I need to do to participate in your great work. Let me put the logs on the fire that I might burn for you. If that's your prayer for you, I want you to stand. And we're going to pray together. Father God, we love you, we worship you, we thank you, we adore you. Father, we repent right now for the times where our heart has been drawn to the show, where we've wanted to be the firework, where we've wanted to be known, where we've wanted to be something, and we've found ourselves being nothing. Only you can light the flame. Holy Spirit, come and breathe upon each and every one of us right now. Breathe. Ignite light the fire of faith afresh again. And as you breathe, Lord, by your mercy and your grace, by your goodness, we just ask that you would help us to enter in and participate, to put the logs on the fire. And Lord, I pray right now for those where the heart, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's like, Dave, I just don't have the strength to put the log on the fire. All I can do is sit. And Lord, I just ask that in that moment that we as your body would be there to help carry those logs and drop them on, that we would devote ourselves to fellowship, to the raw and to the real. We would devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers of the saints. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Set us ablaze. Burn up that which is in us, which is not of you. I pray for anyone here who needs a restoration of the joy of their salvation. Would you do that right now? Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. We love you, we bless you, and we surrender afresh our time, talent, and treasure into your hands. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.